A few more points here about Bamer Harachta Yomim. We have here the Gemara about Rav Zakkai. We have here the fact that he would be makpid on Yayin for Kiddush. The Rashb explains that he had a special Zahirus, careful about Kiddush, and it was beyond the Chiv, beyond the letter of the law, because he could have been Mekadesh Al HaPas, and instead he spent a lot more money on Yayin. Others explain that he could have been Yotze Kiddush by hearing it from others, but he would rather give his objects as a mashkin collateral to buy Kiddush and be Yotze B'Atzmo. Mitzvah Bo Yotze Mishlucha. Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that there was no chiv to be mamashkin himself and spend money that he didn't have for the mitzvah of Kiddush Al Yayin. Rav Huna, the Gemara says, was short. And why did the Gemara have to tell us that? So it could be, and Fakert, the Gemara should have left that out, because the Gemara Nedarim says that Rabbi Yehuda was makpid on a certain woman that said about Shmuel that he was short, and he put her into Nidui as a result. So why is the Gemara publicizing Rav Huna being short? Seems a little bit embarrassing. But the answer is that this might explain why Rav Huna didn't say V'chein Lamar and boomerang the bracha back onto Rav, because Rav, the Gemara tells us in Nidadaf Chavdal and Amibes, was very tall. He was Aruch Bidoro. Rav Huna was afraid that if he would say V'chein Lamar in response to Rav's bracha, then it could be that he would have some sort of a cue of the bracha that really applied to Rav Huna if he flipped it back on to Rav. Lo yiskasa filu chatzi gufo b'shirayim, that not even half of his body would be covered by shirayim, by this silk garment. We spoke about the fact that Rav was makpid on Rav Huna that he didn't return the bracha, not because Rav realized that the bracha was actually fulfilled at the end, because how could he be makpid on Rav at the time that he gave the bracha to Rav Huna? It wasn't clear that the bracha would be fulfilled, but rather he simply wanted to get the bracha from Rav Huna. Rav Huna is a Gadol B'Torah, and a bracha of a Gadol B'Torah makes an impact lamala in the celestial spheres. It's an Ace Ratzon, and therefore Rav felt that this was a moment of Roy Lizbarech, that the Mavarech could be Mavarechim. And perhaps the Pasuk Vavarecha Mavarechacha, Vavarecha Mavarechacha is relevant here. So Rav was makpid. Now, in terms of the Arichas Yomim of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, and he says, "Miyomai lo asisi kapandria." I mean, that's a question here that the Ein Yaakov asks and others. Where's the great midah here? After all, according to the law, you're not allowed to make a kapandria. So there's no extra chasidus here, extra lifnimishur sadin. The Ein Yaakov also points out that the schari is midah keneged midah, because if he, Rabbi Elazar, was not makatzer darko, and he didn't pay any attention to the fact that it would take him longer time, so Hashem, and that was because of the covenant of the Beis HaKnes, Hashem gave him a longer amount of time and extended his life. Also, in the case of Los Pasal Rosh Yam Kadosh, he wasn't Choshish for the Arichas Hazman, or for example, he was mocked him to the Beis HaMedrash, also a time factor here that he would be first. Therefore, he gets Arichas Yomim. And as far as the fact that he wasn't nosei kapa of below bracha, he always made the bracha, is called Misha Mevarech Misbarech. So there's a certain midah, keneged midah here, in all the extra piety of Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua. But as far as Kampandria is concerned, there are a number of answers to the question why Mikra Din Rabbi Elazar could have used the Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut. One answer we mentioned the other day is that there was a Shvil Meikara, that's going to be a Gemara later on. Another answer in the Meiri is that we're talking about a case where he went into the shul. He had no intention of using it as a kitzur derech to shorten his pathway, and then he decided he wanted to go out the other way or whatever it might be. The Turi Evan adds that when he went into the Beis Knesses to be mispalil, that itself, for the sake of tefillah, you're allowed to make it into a kampandria. And the Marsha writes that with regard to the Beis Hamikdash, The Gemara says in Brachos that you're not allowed to make a kampandria midina, and that comes under the halacha of Es Mikdash Aitiro. Rab Lazar was machmir even with the Beis HaKnesses to apply this principle of Mora Mikdash to the Beis HaKnesses. And we once had a long discussion about comparing the mitzvahs that apply to the Beis HaMikdash to the mitzvahs that apply to the Beis HaKnesses. With regard to Lo Pasati al Rosh Am Kadosh, here again, Luchar, there's an Iser here involved. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Zayin Minayin L'Dayin Shel Yafsia al Rosh Am Kadosh Shenemar Lo Salav Malos V'Somach Levi Elu Mishpatim. So the Marsha and the Turi Evan write that in the Gemara in Yevamos on Kufhei, we see that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, he he formulated the principle that if the Am Kadosh needs this person, needs this Gadol, then he's allowed to be Mafsia al Rosh Am Kadosh. Rav Lozer ben Shamua, Ravim Ayu Tzrichim Lo, Bidino Yamuto, he would be allowed to be Mafsia, but he was Machmer on himself. And the phrase Am Kadosh means Yirei Shamayim, Talmidei Chachamim, you shouldn't be Poseh Aleihem, you shouldn't be Matriach them to stand up in front of you. If they're not Yirei Shamayim, then on the contrary, maybe for the sake of Kovod HaTorah, you should go that way, and that'll give them a skula for Yirei Shamayim. And this is based on a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Baal Loscha. And keep in mind the pasuk in Vayikra Yutes and Kedosh, it says, "But they say the talk about Darta Pnei Zaken," and the rest of the pasuk says, "V'yareisim Elokecha." Fine. Lo nasasi kapi below kapai below bracha. The Ritva asks, "I don't understand where the chesedus and the greatness here is. What's so special? This bracha is an absolute obligation incumbent upon every kohen and mevarech." And the Meiri says in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim that it could be that he had already been Nosis Kapov that day. He wasn't chayev to be Nosis Kapov a second time, but he had an opportunity to do so, and he made the bracha a second time, even without the obligation. So it was an optional voluntary mitzvah. And he recited the bracha shekidshanu v'kedushas shel Aaron v'tzivanu levarach es ava Yisrael bi'ava. That's a little bit of a chiddush. The Meiri says ein zeh nira, he doesn't like this pshat demai rabuse vaday kachu adin levarach kol pam shenosi es kapa. That's what the law requires, that you make the bracha every time you know say your kapa. But rather the bracha here is the bracha that the Gemara formulates at the end of Masechta Sota, that he should recite Yiratzon Shete Bracha Zukitikuna, and when he finishes the bracha, he should say Ribono Olam Asinu Masha Gazart Aleinu, etc., etc. So he was Meshabech himself that he would be Mosif this last bracha, and it was a longer bracha. He would embellish this Yiratzon in a way that reflected his tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. And the Turi Eben points out that there's a possibility that initially there was no takon of a bracha before Nesias Kapayim. Rabbi Lozu was the one who actually established the bracha. And Turi Eben expresses himself in the following way. He says, Harbi mitzvus matzinu she'enam tu'unim bracha. There are many mitzvahs that don't get a bracha. Again, you don't know exactly what those mitzvahs are, because we have a principle that's called mitzvahs kula mevarach aleihem over lasiyason. And in the cases of those mitzvahs where there is no bracha, there's a special reason for it. Those are exceptions to the rule. Now, the Baal Amar at the end of Rosh Hashanah says that there's no source for the bracha on tkiyas shofar in Chazal. Lefisha ikar atkiyos heim b'shas hatfila b'malchi zichron shofar zol tiknu bracha al mitzvah zu kevin sheish bracha b'tfila atzma. So the Tziv wants to suggest that just like in Kriyat Shema there's no takonis bracha asher kichon mitzvosav, because we have brachas before it, Avarabba and so forth, so too, there's no bracha on another bracha, let's say, on Birkas HaMazon, we don't have a Sherkin Shon Mitzvosov. And therefore, since Birkas Konim in its essence is a bracha, then you don't make a bracha on a bracha. And that's why originally they didn't make this takana. Now, why in the maskana they do have it? Maybe because the Birkas Konim itself is not formulated as a bracha, right? It's Yivrech Hashem v'Yishmerech, but nowhere does it have Shem u'Malchus, and therefore you need a special bracha. So we're on Chaf Chesam and Aleph, and the Gemara has a very interesting story here about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol. So let's see if we can find the place here.
Is that the same?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a different one. They changed his name. I guess he had a similar name, but a little bit different. So it says here the following. Shaul, just trying to find the place. Here it is. You see the Tosfos V'od? Mm-hmm. It's right below that. Shaul Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Nechunya Gadol. Bamei Rachta Yomim. Now, I'm not sure exactly why, but at this particular meeting, so to speak, at this particular moment, they got very nervous. There were a bunch of servants that surrounded Rabbi Nechunya Gadol, and they got nervous when Rabbi Akiva was trying to figure out, how did you live so long? Now, until now, we had many times, many occasions where they asked that question. Nobody got too uptight about it. I'm not sure exactly why on this particular occasion. But one thing is clear, they didn't recognize Rabbi Akiva. And it seems that even Rabbi Nechunya himself didn't recognize Rabbi Akiva. Maybe he was very young at that time. Couldn't have been too young, but he was relatively young. V'kamachule. Now, if you translate this literally, I don't know if you take it literally, it means they beat him up. They actually started hitting him. And Rabbi Akiva ran away. And Solik, he went up, Yosef HaReisha Didikla, and he climbed up the top of an eitz dekel, some sort of a palm tree, you know, which are pretty high trees. Now at this point, he wanted to somehow establish that he was a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't just asking questions. Because they apparently suspected that when he asked this question, why are you living so long, he was probably implying that like Kiilu, when are you going to drop dead, so to speak. So Omar Lay, so he turns to Rav Nechunya. It's hard to imagine exactly who's positioned where here, and he says, Rebbe, I have a question on a pasuk. This in Parshas Pinchas, this is the parsha of the Tmidim that are brought daily, and it says, Esakeves Echad Taseva Boker. So Rabbi Akiva asks Akashi, he says, Imnemar keves, which is in the singular, Lomanemar echad. The Torah didn't have to qualify that it's only one keves. Right? The Torah says you bring one keves in the morning and one in the evening. But if it would have said keves, keves baboka, keves achrei tzorayim, bein arbayim, that would have been sufficient. So what do we do with the extra word echad? Amalahu. So at this point, now it's not clear who's talking to who, but I think it's Rav Nechemya who's talking to his servants, and they're saying, as in Yiddish we say, Lazapit means let him go. Surim Rabbananu. You know, this person is obviously a Talmud Chacham. He's asking a very good question. We'll soon see the answer to that question. So Shavku, as a result, they let him go. And they understood that his intention, Rabbi Kiva, when he asked Bamer Achti Yom, was not to try to imply that it's about time that you checked out, you know, you're old enough. But he really wanted to know. And Omar Leh, now Rabbi Nechunya turns to Rabbi Akiva, and he gives an answer on his question, what's Echad? Now the word Echad has two meanings. It could mean one in the singular, but it also could mean unique or special. Right? Echad means there's nothing like it. Like when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it means that God is unique. There's no being that can compare to God. And therefore when you choose from your flock a lamb, then miyuchad shebe'edro, you should choose the best one that you can. You should be makriv of the korban tamid. You see, the korban tamid, as you know, is brought every day. So at some point or another, you get a little stingy about it. You know, you get a little used to it. No, you can't get used to it. It's got to be miyuchad shebe'edro. So now we've established that Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud Chacham. Then it must be that he was asking a serious question. He really wanted to learn from Rabbi Nechunya, what's the secret, the fountain of youth here? What great merits do you have that you were zochet to langa yaron? Omale miyomai lo kibalti matonos. We're going to soon see the pasuk soni matonos yichya. We don't want to receive matonos. Number two, lo amadati al midosai. Notice I didn't pay up someone who caused me pain or anguish. Uvatron the mamonio isi, and I wouldn't ask for change when I gave money. So the Gemara goes through all these three one by one.
Now this, I'm just looking. This, you could argue these are a different phrasing, or they're very similar, maybe even the same in some way as Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana said before. So maybe it is them, because. He said, "Miyamai lo kabati b'kolon chavarai." So we didn't derive honor. I mean, like, you could argue that that's kind of like getting gifts from others, right? Receiving something from others. And then the lo hava.
You're talking about b'kolon chaveri. Is that what you were referring to? Klon chaveri. Which was the one you just mentioned?
Yeah, Klon Haveri.
Klon Haveri, I think, is a slightly different concept.
It's similar, though, and I'm wondering if it's... Yeah, because I'm trying to... It's this... It's very similar, because the third is the exact same, right?
Vacho Mimonio, you see.
Yeah, that's exactly the same. And then the middle one... Alta... Mitati,
Kilat Chaveru.
Yeah, that's Uamati Al Midotai. That's
some common.
Right, it's a similar in concept, I guess. So I just wonder if it's.
Yeah. All right, let's go through the cases. Number one, Lo Kibalti Matonos. He says Ki Ha De Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara wants to give a case, a scenario of another rabbi that seems to illustrate this paradigm of Rabbi Nechunya, the Lo Kibalti Matonos. Ki Avi Meshadri Leh, when they would send to Rabbi Eliezer gifts, Matonos, Mibein Nesia, for the Beis HaNasi, and I guess maybe Rabbi Eliezer was being supported to some extent by the Beis HaNasi, because he was a Talmud Chacham, Lo Avi Shakya. He did not want to receive gifts. In other words, he would find some sort of other alternative way of supporting himself. Kiavi Mizamni Lay, when they would invite him to a Sa'uda, Lavi Azal, he wouldn't comply, he wouldn't show up. Amalahu, and they said to him, Vilo Nichalahu di Echye, Oh, I'm sorry. He said to them, when they invited him and when they lavished gifts upon him, don't I want to live? Don't you want to let me live? The Torah says, this is a pasuk, I think in Mishlei, double check that for me. Sone matanos yichye. The person who doesn't want to take matanos, if he wants to be independent, and this is the kindness of independence. The Bali Kabbalah say that God is a giver and we are receivers, we're recipients. We want to be as similar as we can to God, and if we want to be on the giving end, not on the receiving end. And that's called Sone matanos yichye. Because Atem Advekim Hashem Alkechem Chaim Kulchem. In other words, the more you're similar to God, the more you have Chaim, the more you have life. And now the Gemara gives another example. This one from Rabbi Zera, Ki Havi Meshadrele, Mibay Nesia, when they sent him gifts from the Beis Hanasi, Lo Avi Shokel, he would again refuse them for the same reason, Soni Matanas Yechia. But yet, Ki Havi Mezamnile, when they invited him to the Beis Hanasi for a meal, for a banquet, Ozil, then he would show up. Why? Omar, he says, that's not a matana. That's not something that I'm receiving and they get nothing in return. Why? It's yakure de misyakerbi. It seems that it's a covet for them that I show up at the meal. So like, for example, if you get invited to a meal and you know that they'll be very happy that you took the time to come, then you can rely on this, and it's not considered a violation of Sonei Matanas Yichud.
So he's also Tana Chacham, so if he shows up, that's...
Right, big cover. Right. I remember, I'm going back like 40 years ago, my wife and I hosted a Sheva Brachas for a friend of ours, and then maybe, we were all sitting around and so forth, and then the Rosh Hashiva came in. His name was Rav Goldwicht. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's not alive a long time. He was Rosh Hashiva Kerviyav. When he came in, and the whole thing changed. I can't even begin to tell you. I remember you could slice it with a knife. It was such... What I don't understand here is that Rav Elazar didn't even want to show up at a meal. He didn't have that smart. So I guess it could be that, you know, you could look at Sonei Matanas Yichye in one of two ways. You know, you could look at it from the giver's perspective, or you could be totally focused on the recipient. If you look at it from the giver's perspective, then Rabbi Zera is right. This is not a gift. Adarava, he very much is eager that I come and that I respond positively to his invitation. But if you isolate the recipient doesn't want any gifts. You know, you're giving him a gift by putting a big, you know, 7-course meal in front of him. And that was the kapeda that he had, that Rabbi Nechunya had. Then it says, V'lo'amadati al-midosa. Again, the Gemara wants to sort of illustrate this by either quoting a pasuk or quoting a story about one of the chachamim. The Amar Rava, Rava used to say the following, Kol'amavir al-midosav, mavirin mimenu kol pshav. And what this means is that God treats us in a similar way to what we treat our fellow man. And therefore, Benor Melchavero is a wonderful opportunity to really change the din, to have an impact on the judgment on high. So Rava says that there's a concept called Mavir al-Midosav. Like, for example, if a person sins against God, what we can only hope for is that God will be a maver al midosav, which means that God will say, even though according to the strict letter of the law, according to the justice, you deserve to be punished, God says, I'm going to look the other way. I'm not going to judge you according to midas hadin. And if we treat our fellow man in that way, again, this is a tzaddik, you know, you're talking about a tzaddik on a very high level, that we don't demand, you know, and respond with a very very harsh response. That's called mavir al midosav, and you look the other way, is mavirin mimenu kol pshav. Then Hashem too will overlook his pshayim, his sins. And Rav derives this from a pasuk shenemar nosei avon v'over al pesha. The pasuk says that God is a nosei avon v'over, and He passes over iniquities. Lemi nosei avon, and now Rav is interpreting that the seifa of this pasuk, v'over al pesha, is not referring to God, but rather referring to man. So God is the nosei avon; He's willing to tolerate sin, because we are over al pesh. If we look the other way and we're willing to forgive someone for something bad that he did to us, for whom is God going to look the other way with our sins? Lemisha over al pesha. In other words, if we're not medadik, if we're not going to be meticulous and demand some sort of retribution against friends who may have insulted us and so forth, then God will do the same. Shal Rebbe es Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, b'meh harachta yomim. So Rabbi Yeshua answers the following. Katzta b'chayai. This is similar to what we saw by Rabbi Akiva when he asked Rabbi Nechunya how long, why he zokt to Arichas Yom. So they got very nervous. They thought that he was saying, "Oh, it's you're such an old person, genug, it's enough on this earth." Katzta b'chayai, have you finished with me already? That you asked me how old I am. Amalo. So Rebbe responds, Torah hi v'lilman anitzar. I have no interest. I'm very happy that you're living a long life. But perhaps you can teach me Torah, meaning what is it? What mitzvah or what action, what behavior pattern should I emphasize in order to reach the highest level that Hashem would bestow this great reward that I can live a longer life? Amalo. Okay, this next Gemara I think has to be understood based on more mystical ideas. He says, "Miyamai lo nistakalti bidmus adam rasha." Now again, when you walk the streets or you deal with people, you have to look at them in some sense. But the word istakalti, I think, histaklus doesn't mean looking; it means gazing. It means looking with a certain concentration
of learning from.
Right, like it says, you're also istakal b'nashim, you're not allowed to look at women. What does it mean, not allowed to look at women? How can you not look at a woman? I mean, you go to a bank and she's a teller behind the desk. Yeah. So but istaklus means, when you really
look.
We say in my day, I don't know, maybe I'm dating, but we say check her out. Do you remember that phrase? Let's check her out.
Yeah.
So that's istaklus.
I had a client once who we were talking with, a woman, a guy from Meir Shearim and everything like that, and I could see it from his eyes, the way he was talking to her. He never looked in her face. He looked, say, to the right of her face.
Right.
So in her eyes, he's looking at her. He's looking at her, but from his eyes, he's looking.
He's not looking.
To just off from her. In other words, he gave her respect. I'm not hiding my face from you.
Right.
I'm not looking at you. He gave her respect as a human being, but he never really looked at her. Right. I saw that. I saw how he was looking. He was just a little off.
Okay.
It was something to learn from.
Yeah. Di Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, also li Adam listakel b'tzelem dmus Adam Rasha. So we're going to see this by Elisha. And I just wanted to point out here, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "V'hayu einecha ra'os es morecha," which means that a person should see his Rebbe who's teaching him Torah. He says the following: "Afal gav sheish iser meikar adin." Now that we've quoted Rabbi Yochanan, we see that you're not allowed to look or gaze, concentrate on the face of a rasha. So why is Rebbe? Who's the children? It's Rabbi Yeshua, I think. See, right? Why is Rabbi Yeshua? Why is he boasting, so to speak, that this is the great key to success in his Avodas Hashem? So he says the following: In other words, most people, the eyes are very curious. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Koch is really telling his Talmud Rebbe that even though it's very difficult, but you should work hard. This is something that you want to invest your energies into. Okay, now there's a long discussion in the Alkut. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it as to why you're not allowed to stare at the face of a Rasha. But let's see how we derive this. So the pasuk says regarding Elisha and his relation with someone by the name of Yehoram. So it says, "Lule pnei Yoshafat Melech Yehuda ani nose im abed elecha v'mer eka." So Elisha is talking to Yehoram, who is a big rasha, and he said that nose im abed elecha v'mer eka. I will not look at your face because you're rasha. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Einov Chaos, that if a person violates this prohibition of Rabbi Yochanan, his eyes will get weak. Shenemar, and this is why Yitzchak, because he was fooled by Esav, if you remember. Esav was the master of fabrication, of falsifying his facade. So Vayhiki Zaken Yitzchak Vatechena Einov Miros, and why was it that Yitzchak became kind of blind, almost blind, at the end of his life, Mishum Distakel the Ace of Harosha. Again, it's very interesting here because Yitzhak Avinu didn't do so deliberately, but I guess the Gemara is saying that this is sort of a reality. It's built into nature. It's like, I'll give you a mashal, you know, the famous case of Pnina. The Gemara says that Pnina had seven children and her sister Chana had no children. And she used to needle her, you know, as if to embarrass her or cause her pain and anguish by saying, oh, you didn't have any children, this and that. So Chazal say that the reason why Pnina did so is she wanted Chana to be mispalel, to, you know, to up the ante on her tefillos. And then the Gemara says that Pnina buried seven children. She lost all her children because of what she did to Chana. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks the question, so why was she punished so severely if she did it l'shem shemayim? The Gemara says she had a calculation. So I think Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives a marshal that if you jump into a fire, you could do so l'shem shemayim, but you can get burnt. And he says that when you mess around with insulting people and
with so it's built, and everything,
yeah, like it's built into nature that you're going to suffer. You're playing with fire, and Pnina was playing with fire. So don't try to justify certain behaviors by saying that you did it l'shem shemayim. So here also, something you know, if the eye doctors will tell you what kind of based on biology, what kind of you know, stress or what kind of, you know, undue stress on the eyes, you know, could cause you to, you know, to lose your to diminish your sight. And the world operates on two levels. It's not only biological, but it's also metaphysical. So just like if you would pressure your eyes too much, you know, you're like, let's say for example, there's not enough light in the room, but you force yourself to read or small print and so forth. You know, I don't know the biology, because I think I read somewhere that the eye is the only muscle in the human body where if you exercise it too much, it's detrimental. Well, again, there are different kinds of eye exercise, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Every other muscle in the body, the more pressure you put on it, the stronger it gets. Anyway, I'm not going into that now because I just want to get through this Gemara here so we can get to the next Mishnah. That's my goal. Bezrat Hashem. So anyway, so Yitzchak somehow stares at his son Esav, thinking that Esav is the next Gadol HaDor, you know. You remember all the Chazal about what Esav said to fool his father, right? Yeah, you remember the Mafresh Truma from salt and all that.
Yeah, right.
So the Gemara has a kasha here. Is it really true that the reason why Yitzchak went blind is because of looking at Esav? Is that what caused Yitzchak to become blind? Ha'am Rabbi Yitzchak, again, this is not Yitzchak Avinu, this is a Tana by the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, or an Amora by the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Ha'am Rabbi Yitzchak, li olam al tehi kilas hejod kala beinecha. Even a low person, but if he curses you, the curse could have an impact. Shari Avimelech was not such a great person, but kilel es sara v'niskaima bizarra. Shenemar hine hu loch ksus einayim. So the pasuk describes the words of Avimelech, which he cursed Sarah. Now, where does it say that he cursed Sarah? So Chazal say, Al tikri ksus el ksias einayim, meaning covering the eyes. Then Abimelech said that since you covered, meaning you concealed from me, that you are the wife of Avram Avinu, therefore you caused me such tsar. God came and he beat him up. Is therefore I wish that you also should have a kind of covering, a kind of concealment, that your eyes should be covered. And as a result of this klola, the eyes of Yitzhak became weak. So if you have the statement of this derivation, then it contradicts what Rabbi Elazar said, that the reason why Yitzhak went blind is because he was looking at the staring at the face of Esau. So the Gemara says, Hava ha garmale. Notice we needed both causes. Number one, like each one is kilu 50%, that contributes halfway. That on the one end, he looked at the face of Esau, and on the other end, there was a klol of Avimelech. The klol of Avimelech was just a sort of like a potential. It could have been fulfilled in any one of the children, the offspring of Sarah, you mean, if you hold al tehi kalas. Why dafka Yitzchak, and why dafka at that particular moment in time? And that's because the final makom patish was that he was looking at the face of Esau. Now it could be that looking at the face of Esau per se, because the Gemara says hova hagarmali, that wouldn't have taken him over the hill, so to speak. That wouldn't have itself clinched that he would be blind. As we said before, he took it that Esau was a good guy. But the answer is that you know, since the potential was there, but the claw is sort of like floating in air, it's suspended, you know, it's waiting to find the resting place on which one of the children or offspring of Sarah, this was going to be the makabapatish, you know, the final cause. You know, this is going to press that last button that we need. The fact that Yitzchak is staring at Esau. Rava Omar Mihacha, Rava has another pasuk. Where is this Mishlei? Si'es Pnei Rasha Lo Tov. Let's see if we can find Mishlei, it. Yeah. Where is it?
Mishlei.
Okay, good. Pasuk in Mishlei. B'shas Pti Rasha. Now, going back to Rabbi Yishuv Ben Karcha, he's on his deathbed. Omar Lo Rebbe. Rebbe says, Barcheni, please, bless me. Omar Lo, Yehi Rotzen Shetagia L'chatzi Yoma. You should live half my life. So the Gemara already asks, Rebbe asks, Ulekulu lo, I shouldn't live to the Arichas Yomim that you were living to. Omer lo. So Yishuv Ben Karcha says, you want to share some of your greatness with your children, your offspring. And that's Haboy Machrecha Behema Yiru. You know, he asks him sort of facetiously, do you want your children to become animal shepherds? In other words, it's not good for you to live Yomim Ravim. Why? Because you're the nasi, you're the head honcho here. And if you're going to live too long, then lo yitlu banecha gduloscha, they will not be able to take over your position. B'chol yomem yu hedyotos. Instead, they'll be on lower rung here. So I gave you a bracha that tagia lechatzi yomai, and then you'll be able to bequeath to your children the nesius. Now, here the question is, everybody asks the same question. What exactly is going on over here? If they were roy for the Nasius, then why couldn't they have the Nasius after Rebbe died? Why is it that in order to guarantee that they would take over the mantle of leadership and inherit the position of their father would have to die at a certain age, meaning like Kiyu prematurely, meaning he wouldn't leave. So he says here, the Marsha, Hoylol Varcho, he asks a slightly different question. He says, why didn't he give a bracha that Gabonov, that his children also would have, would be able to inherit Yiskul Reshes as on Nesius? The problem here is the Nesius. Let give him a bracha for the Nesius. So I don't have an answer. The Marsha doesn't have an answer either to this Gemara, but what it seems is, again, this is all metaphysics, that maybe, you know, every person has a certain number of years to live. And
Avraham Melech and Shlomo Melech,
right? The 70 years and all that. So it could be that what was meant to happen was that between the father and the son, there would be X number of years. That would be the sum total. So let's say the father would live 50 years and the son would live another 50 years. If the father will live 100 years, then he won't see his son inherit him because his son is only given 50 years. So in a certain sense, maybe Rebbe is going to give up some of his years to his son so that his son would be able to survive his father. I don't know, but that's not what the Marsha says. Avua bar ihi uminyamin bar ihi. The impression I get is they were brothers. Chad omar tesili delo istakli bekusi. V'chad omar tesili delo avodai shutfis delo avodi shutfis bahadi kusi. So they each said that they should be rewarded from heaven for their relationship, their very limited relationship with the kusi. One of them said, I didn't look at the face of a kusi. And the other said, I didn't get, you know, rub shoulders with and have a partnership with a kusi. Now the kusim is very interesting. There are different shittos exactly who they were, but one thing is clear, they were idol worshippers. They were not
Jews.
That's not so clear exactly.
They converted because they were forced to.
That's one sheet, right? Like the Givonim, they were afraid. Another sheet that has the Kusim actually tried to put an idol on top of a mountain, and then they started worshiping the idol. Shalu Talmidim as Rabbi Zera b'Meherachti Yom Amalehem Yom Ilok Padeti B'Tov Beisi. The Gemara is going to analyze each one. V'lo tza'adati b'fnei misha gadol mimeni. V'lo eharti b'mavos hametunofim. V'lo lachti arba amas v'lo torah v'lo tefillin. V'lo yashanti b'beis hamedrash lo shenas kva. V'lo shenas aroi. V'lo sasti b'takolas chaveri. V'lo karosi l'chaveri b'chachinoso. Chachinoso, by the way, is another word for kinui. Even a different kind of a kinu. So let's go through this. I thought the Gemara was going to analyze this, but we'll have to do it on our own, I guess. How are we doing on the clock? Okay, let's see if we at least get to the Mishnah.
Yeah, for
at
sure.
Least maybe even go through the Mishnah. So he says, Miyomailok padati bitoch besi. That's the first item on the list. Hainu, he says, afilu shezebetoch habayis ubitzina. Right, even though he, you know, he's talking about his behavior within the house, which is in private. Gamken lok padati. In other words, if somebody said something that wasn't appropriate to me in the house, I didn't suffer any public humiliation. It was in the house, and if I could have gotten very angry at that person. And how much more so if I would get angry at someone and try to, you know, lash out back at him in public, that could be very humiliating. But if I did so in private and I would come down hard on someone, there would be no element of busha, but still, nevertheless, now he asks another question. The Gemara says in Gittin and in other places that a person should actually generate a certain fear in his house, but he says nevertheless he didn't do it with anger. He didn't do it with kpeda. Kpeda means when you're angry at somebody. Okay, the next item is v'lo tza'adati b'fnei misha gadol mimeni. That's also a problem because the Gemara says in Masechta Yoma that Shlosha Shay Mahalcha Mederha Rav Be'emza the Gadol Biyamino Kot Mismolo. In other words, that they should walk three people abreast. So obviously, and the middle one is going to be the Gadol, right? The Rav Be'emza. So obviously, you're not going to be walking in front of your Rebbe because you're supposed to be flanking him. One Talmud is flanking him on the right, and one on the left. He says, "Afal pikin hikpid shelo yakdim es rabo afilu ma'at." you know, when three people are walking abreast, then it's very shaykh that one person might walk a little bit faster than the other, and he'll end up ahead of his Rebbe. So therefore, lo tza'adati, I was very careful not to take even a small step ahead of my Rebbe. So all I can tell you is that the subject of this particular line of lo tza'adati is covered Talmidei Chacham, covered our Rebbe. V'lo erharti mevos hatunofim. So the Mefarshim say, well, that's an outright issue. You're not allowed to think Divrei Torah in a place where there's feces. That's a sugyan brachas daf chav dalet. So the Marsha says, niskavi lomer shekaven shel holach arba amos lo Torah. Therefore, nizar shel lelech mevos hatunofim shilu holach shom o yaholach arba amos lo Torah. In other words, what he was saying, not that he didn't think Divrei Torah while he was in these places, but that he avoided these places, and he never went there, because if he would visit those places, he would not be allowed to think in Torah. And that's based on the next line in the Gemara, that lo alachti arba amos b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin, that he never went without Torah. So if he never went without Torah, then he's going to have to avoid makomos metunofin. So I don't know exactly if they had a little bit of a map on their cell phones, you know, on their smartphones, that would tell them exactly where the Makomos and the Tunafim were. Or maybe they just knew, I don't know. See, I don't know if Waze will tell you where to avoid Makomos and the Tunafim. But anyway, he knew apparently where there might be Tinuf, and he just simply circumvented those places so that he could go four amos with Torah, that he wouldn't have any sort of a hefsek, an interruption from his Torah.
The nose knows.
However, he says that the Mitzvah Eisan has a whole different approach to this Gemara. He says that the Ikar Adin, he would be allowed to be Mahar below Torah, even in above in Mekomos Mitunafim. And that's based on a Gemara in Zvachim that says that Rabbi Elazar ben Rab Shimon would be Mahar B'divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchatz. He would think Torah thoughts in a bathhouse. Why? Someone who's constantly learning, we can't expect him to stop learning. And he's considered anus. You know, it's circumstance beyond his control, and we're going to look the other way. We're going to allow him to have Torah thoughts. And Rav Zera was always thinking in Torah. Correct? And since he was always thinking in Torah, he never walked four amos without thinking about Torah. Therefore, technically, it would have been mutter for him. We would have applied the same permission that we applied to Rav Lozer to Rav Zera, but he was makpid. Again, what was he makpid? That he wouldn't think Torah thoughts, that they would avoid these places. That's not 100% clear. If we had time, I would tell you a story about the Rogachover. I don't know if you ever heard of the Rogachover. His name is Rav Yosef Rosen. He lived about a century ago. I think he died approximately 1930, something like that. So less than a century ago. He was a genius of geniuses. And they said that they caught him learning during Avelus. Now, you're not allowed to think Torah thoughts when you're in Oven. So, again, there's a whole story about what he responded to them. But I was just thinking that maybe the answer to the question would be what we saw here about Rav Lozer ben Rav Shimon. That if it's Torah Shkura Befiv, you know, he's always stop. Thinking and turning, he's a Kashuk Onus, you know, he couldn't stop. Now, what's next on the list? He says, Lo Yashanti Bebeis HaMedrash. He never slept in a Beis HaMedrash, even a temporary sleep. So the question is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself says you're not allowed to sleep in a Beis HaMedrash. And if you do, your Torah gets chopped up. So the Mela, this should be absolutely awesome. So the Marsha says that what the Gemara has in mind over there is a Shenas Keva, where he's going to sleep, let's say, 20 minutes. Abul Shenas Haroi, in a very temporary best, he dozes off. That would be Mutter, and Rav Zera was very makar himself, he shouldn't doze off at all, even on a very short basis. Below Sasti v'takos Chaveri, that we spoke about before, that even if his friend took a loss, he would never have any sort of a joy about it. And he says, it could be that this is a chumrah, because even if it was his enemy, he would still not be happy about it. And that's it. Lo karasi lechaveri bechanichoso Okay, that's based on a Gemara, but Metzia Hamachanes Shem Lechavero is who Echad Miyorde Gehenom. It's a very bad thing to give a nickname to a person, but he says that he was inspired, that even though other people were Nichshal, they weren't able to control themselves, he was always in control of himself. Afilu Kinui Shel Dofi Shebit Misudar Ubolo Mimishpachto. He says, others say Chanichoso, meaning if the family already gave that nickname to him, still, nevertheless, he was very mocked, but he was very careful not to, you know, use that name. Even though, again, the members of the family would use that name, but he thought it's not right to use that name because it's a nickname. So, Belineta, tomorrow we pick up the Mishnah, and I wish you, gentlemen, a great day. Okay, then?